In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome, everyone. It's good to be all together again in blessed nativity from the period that starts from the Feast of the Nativity in the Coptic Orthodox Church, which we're still under the old calendar, January 7th, till tomorrow, till Monday the 15th, is what we call the Nativity period. This is the time that we are continuously remembering and reminding ourselves with the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. That's why you heard also the hymn that we say and we sing during the Feast of the Nativity, Today the Virgin, and then everything else is still kind of focused on that. Till tomorrow, tomorrow is actually the Feast of Circumcision of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the minor feasts of the Coptic Orthodox Church. Maybe it's a good idea now, a good chance now to go through those things just as a reminder. In the Coptic Orthodox Church, we have seven major and seven minor feasts. The major feasts are mainly something that are concerned and connected to the salvation itself. Starting with the first and the beginning of the feast, which is the Annunciation of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first one, and it is remembered, the church reminds us that every 29th day of the Coptic month we celebrate or we commemorate the Feast of the Annunciation, because it's something that this is what opened everything else. So the first one is the Annunciation, followed by the Nativity, that's two, followed by the Epiphany, followed by Palm Sunday, followed by Easter, that's five, and then six is the Ascension, and seven is the Pentecost. So again, Annunciation, birth, baptism, Palm Sunday, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. And then comes the seven minor feasts also, which are other events in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, but not necessarily connected to the salvation itself. Starting by tomorrow, the circumcision, and then the entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ into the temple, then the entrance or the escape of the Holy Family to Egypt, since the Coptic Orthodox Church originally from Alexandria. Then the first miracle, which is Cana of Galilee, which is another week from the circumcision, that's four. The Transfiguration is five. And then Great Thursday, finally Thomas Sunday, which is the first Sunday after the Easter. So I said I'm very fast, very quick, and I'm going to quiz you at the end to see if you remember and paid attention or not. Again, seven major, seven minor feasts, something to remember and something. It's a good opportunity today to just review this and know our festive days. And because of that, I thought of talking about actually the circumcision, not exactly about the reading of today, because again, you know, it usually comes in the middle of the week and we don't really pay attention to it. And then we always have lots of questions about the circumcision, like why would the church celebrate the circumcision? Like something that is, you know, in the Old Testament and something that wasn't, is not done or not being, you know, observed now. But although, you know, it is something that is very, very, very important in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, in our lives also. Right? Saint Cyril of Alexandria, 5th century, says something very, very important, that everything that the Lord has done it for us. For us. Why? Because he took our total humanity and became total human, away from sin. Right? So everything that happened to the Lord, it happened to us in him. Right? So what does that mean? You know, again, Cyril of Alexandria talks a lot about this and about that symbol and that meaning of that. One of the things he says that, you know, that the circumcision is very important to us, that he says that it is prefigured in itself the grace and efficacy of divine baptism. So Cyril of Alexandria and the Church Fathers links the circumcision to the baptism. Why? Because the circumcision, again, we know from the Old Testament, was a mark in the flesh of the Jewish, the Israelites, in order to mark them that you are part of the people of the Lord, right? And that mark and that group of people with the New Testament, with the incarnation of our Lord, became for everybody, right? If you notice the Pauline epistle of the readings today, St. Paul talks a lot about in Romans 15 about the Gentiles, that it is for everybody, right? It says that now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Who is the promise for? For the Gentiles. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So that promise that the Lord fulfilled in himself and for each one of us in him by the circumcision fulfilled the promise that we all became what? The children of the Lord. That's why it is a symbol for the baptism. Through the baptism, we receive that adoption, then we become children of the Lord. So that's why Cyril, again, of Alexandria talks about, you know, it prefigured in itself the grace and efficacy of the divine baptism. Formerly, a male who was circumcised was included among the people of God by virtue of that seal. So a male that is circumcised, he is included in the family and in the people of the Lord because of that seal, that circumcision in the flesh. But nowadays, a person who is baptized and has formed in himself Christ, the seal, becomes a member of God's adopted family. So as that symbol, the circumcision, was a mark for the person that he is a member of God's family at the time, through baptism now, we are all becoming children of the Lord through the adoption. So what does that mean to us? And why, again, it's something that's important, and why I'm taking the time to talk about it today. If we look at, actually, the readings of tomorrow, the Pauline epistle specifically of the Feast of the Circumcision that the church put together, Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 3, there is a beautiful, beautiful verse. St. Paul says this, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." St. Paul is saying, not we are circumcised, but we are what? Circumcision itself. Right? For we are the circumcision. What does that mean? He's not saying again, for we are circumcised, for we are being marked, but he's saying that we are the event itself, the process itself, the work itself that God has done for each one of us, that we are the circumcision. The circumcision, again, is a mark that you are my child. You belong to me. We have that seal. And when St. Paul says that in Philippians 3:3, he's saying that, remember this. And that's why we celebrate this. That's why this day is very, very important. It's not just, okay, you know, we're just commemorating an event that happened to the Lord just because of the history. No, we are reliving all those days again and all those events again. When we hear that we are the circumcision, we are that seal, we are that people, those people who are being obtained that adoption, we are the circumcision. But then he puts three very, very important characteristics to us who are his people. From that verse, again, Philippians 3:3, very easy to remember. I'll read it one more time, and, you know, it doesn't need the sermon, to be honest with you. It's very, very clear. It needs more of prayer. It needs more of understanding. It needs more of a life to live, not somebody to tell you what that is, because that is who we are. Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." So what are those characteristics of us being the circumcision? Number one, we worship in what? In spirit. Who worship God in the spirit. Number two, we what? I'll read it one more time and I want to hear what you say. Okay, wake up. Okay, let's wake up. I know it's cold outside. I know it's time to kind of like we all want to be kind of, you know, somewhere warm and relaxed. But again, Philippians 3:3. "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." So we are the circumcision. Number one, what do we do? Worship God in. Number two, rejoice in Jesus Christ. Number three, no confidence in the flesh. That's it. That's it. That's why we celebrate this. That's why this day is a very, very important day. And on those three things, let's actually come back and evaluate ourselves. Do you worship him in the spirit or not? What does it mean? Here we are today. Are we here just our body, our physical body? Are we here in the spirit? When we read the scripture, are we reading it in the spirit? When we stand to pray, are we just standing to pray because I should pray and I'm just doing it so I can kind of like, you know, feel good about it and don't feel guilty? Or we're really in the spirit? That is the one thing that the Lord talked and asked the Samaritan woman, where she was so confused and tried to have like a theological discussion with him. I said, like, you know what, don't worry about all this. It doesn't matter where you worship, as long as you worship in the truth and spirit. I think the one thing that we need to understand, and we need to live it, and we need to renew it every day is evaluating what is our worship. Is it really in the spirit or not? If we are in the spirit, as you were saying, and that goes along with the church theme this year again, the church of the living God, because it's worship in the spirit. That means the spirit is actually guiding, the spirit is talking, the spirit is praying for us. How many times you say, like, I don't know how to pray? How many times you say, like, what? I stand to pray that I can't find the words. I come to the service and it's so boring, so disconnected. We separate our whole life from our life of worship because we were not worshiping in the spirit. But again, the seal and the proof that we are circumcised, that we are circumcision, that when we worship in the spirit. Number one, who worship God in the spirit. Number two, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Nowadays, everybody is really, you know, struggling with that idea of being joyful, right? Like, what should we be joyful about? And we are so overwhelmed with everything. And we're so down because of everything. But again, if we are the circumcision, we should rejoice in Christ Jesus. What else would make us joyful other than knowing that we are his children? What else should make us joyful? What else should take the joy away from us while we know that we are his children? But devil and Satan is always trying to steal the joy away from our hearts. Or replace it with something else. He said, look, this doesn't mean anything. You know, what does it mean that you are the child of God? You know, I'm still struggling, I'm still suffering, I'm still, you know, having financial issues, spiritual issues, emotional issues, physical issues. You know, why should you be joyful? But if that is not clear, then we don't really understand what he has done for us. That he came in order to give us that adoption. And he was circumcised in order that we are in him circumcised and we become joyful in Christ Jesus. Time to evaluate again to see what are we, number one, if we're joyful or not. Number two, what brings that joy in our hearts? What is it? What's our expectations? What are we waiting for to be joyful? And number three, really find the joy in Christ Jesus. Really find the joy in him. How can I find this if I don't spend enough time with him? Like if a person that is fun to be around, right? Unless I know that person, I won't really enjoy that personality. Right? He is not joyful. He is joy. He is the light. As we're coming now, as we're going to continue and pray the liturgy now, I really pray that we are all praying, that we are enjoying and experiencing and tasting that joy. Why? Because we have that seal. We have that seal. Number one, again, we worship in the spirit. Number two, rejoice in Christ. And number three, have no confidence in the flesh. Which is kind of interesting and kind of like actually against all what the culture and the society is teaching us. You should have confidence in your flesh, right? You have confidence in yourself. You can do this, right? How many commencements we heard in graduations, right? And it's all about the achievement, right? And the struggle and the nights that I spent up studying and the intelligence that I have in order to write all the papers. This is what all the society is teaching us. But here St. Paul saying what? Have no confidence in the flesh. Don't depend on the flesh. Because it's not going to get us anywhere. And the funny thing is, as we try to pretend that we have all the confidence in the flesh, we are the most miserable people, right? Have no confidence in the flesh. The confidence is only in one thing, in Him. In Him. And all this, again, that's why we are the circumcision. I was reading something about, as you know, in the Old Testament, the male will be going through that physical flesh circumcision of the flesh and bleeds. You know, the fathers talks about that instead of the circumcision of the flesh is the circumcision of the heart, which means the heart is bleeding with the love of God, injured by the love of God. Again, how can I live this unless I put some effort? How can I live this unless I really intentionally change my mind? And that's why St. Paul, when he says, you know, that the change and the transformation is by the renewal of the mind. Based on those three things, I can't just worship because I am here. Just worship according to the letter, according to the legalistics, according to what I can do. I can't just enjoy this without knowing that He is the source of joy, unless I really spend some time with Him. Start my day with Him, end the day with Him. Spend some more time in the reading the scriptures and studying it. Be intentional when you come to church, to the service, the liturgy, that I am here to meet the Lord, not to meet my friends. I'm here for Him, not for anybody else. And when we do this, we get to the last thing that he said here, that no confidence in the flesh. Because I know that flesh is not going anywhere. I cannot, you know, as we all say it, as we all remember, I can do everything in Christ, right? Not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. How many times we said, you know, here are we in the beginning of the year. Like, okay, you know what, we're going to start the year doing so and so. I have a plan to read the whole Bible in 1 year starting from January 1st. I have this and this and this and this. And then 2-3 weeks, you know, beyond that date, and then everything goes back again. Right? Have no confidence in the flesh, but confidence in the Lord, in the Spirit that will come and change. But how would the Spirit change unless I come to the Spirit and say, you know what, here I am, Lord. Help me, change me, renew me. That is the circumcision. And that's why we celebrate this. Again, Philippians 3:3, beautiful verse. You know, I really, you know, pray and hope that we all read it, memorize it, contemplate about it, pray it, and ask to live it. Ask to live it. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. To Him the glory, now and forever, to the ages of all ages. Amen.